Good morning. It's Brandon Hathaway. I'm a preacher at the Westside Church of Christ. I come to you live from my own home. Of course, with everything going on with the virus, a lot of congregations out there are closing their worship services, but doing our best to make sure we're still putting God first in our lives and making sure we're able to worship and study the Bible. Trying to give the Facebook Live a couple minutes to send out the notifications to any who may be following the page that might be able to join us. And of course, I encourage that you also like and follow our page so that you can see further lessons or check out lessons that have already been done. Encourage that you do that. We are always happy to study with anyone. If you do have any questions or comments of the lesson or about our faith as we continue our lives upon this earth and what we do here at Westside Church of Christ. So I encourage that you ask those questions. You can send us a PM message or you can write them in the comments, however you'd like to do that. And we'll do our best to get back with you. So I do want to go ahead and just get into the lesson now. With everything going on in this world with COVID-19 out there, or the coronavirus, however you want to go about calling it, we want to make sure that we're following God. Now, I titled the lesson COVID-19/faith. I've already did a lesson, if you go back in our sermons, the Sunday, I don't think it was last Sunday, but the Sunday before that, I did the lesson on trusting God. And so we need to make sure we're doing that, putting our faith in God in these hard times, making sure we're prepared to meet our God. I'm actually going to do something a little different as we talk about this virus and what everybody's going through right now and the Bible. And that is bringing out a question and titling it this way, of if we were to treat our faith, if we were to treat our faith like we treat this virus, if we were to treat our faith like we treat COVID-19, because you look at what everybody's doing in the situation right now. You look how everybody's reacting right now, what everybody's posting on Facebook right now. If we were to apply that to what we read in the Bible, if we were to apply that to what we should be doing to make sure we get to heaven, then where would we be? Where would we be as Christians? Where would we be as a congregation? Where would this nation be? Where would the world be? If everybody would treat their faith like they're treating this virus. And I hope that you open up your Bibles and you follow along. And once again, I'm not here to get on to anybody for going too far with the virus. I'm not here to get on to anybody who's not doing enough with this virus. I just want to look at the Word of God and see how we should be acting every day with or without this virus as Christians, as followers of God, as following the footsteps of Christ. So I ask and encourage that you open up your Bibles and follow along as I teach this lesson. And once again, if you have questions or comments that you want to make, go ahead and put them there in the comment or private message me or the congregation. And we'll try to get back to you and answer any questions that you may have. I'll be reading from the New King James translation, if you're curious of what translation I'm reading from. But my first point I want to bring out this morning is once we look at this virus, many have got caught up in fear. Some have just, maybe it's more of a concern than fear. You're not afraid, but you understand that there is a thing to be concerned about and that we all should be paying attention to. And so you've accepted the situation and you want to make sure that you're doing what needs to be done. You want to do your part. Now apply that to our faith. Apply that to heaven. Apply that to hell. Apply that to the Word of God. If we were to treat our faith in the Word of God like we do this virus, the fear that comes in, man, if someone gets sick, if I get sick, if my grandparents get sick, if you have health issues, the world is afraid and concerned at this time, and the government and the CDC is trying to make sure we do everything right. guys, there's things that we should be fearing when we sin, when there's sin in our lives. If you turn and open up your Bibles to Romans, let me read it from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want to read verse 18. Romans 1 and in verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And so here it brings out that the wrath of God is on the unrighteous. The wrath of God comes out against those who are unrighteous men who are ungodly. And once again, that when we talk about being afraid of this virus, should we not be afraid if we're not living a godly life? Shouldn't we be afraid if we are going to go down a path of sin? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't you? I mean, that's what the Bible is telling us here. And there's so many examples throughout the Bible of God's wrath coming up on those who are disobedient. I mean, you could go to the beginning of time. Of course, Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden because they chose to go down the wrong path. We look in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, and you read verse 5, when the world was caught up in sin. Genesis 6, and in verse 5, says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." Guys, that's the world in sin. That's God saying he was upset. He was sorry that he created mankind because their hearts were continuously evil. And he'd end up flooding the world. He flooded the world. And only 8 souls were saved through that flood. Noah and his family. His 3 sons, their wives, and of course Noah's wife. Understand that. That should put fear into us if we are living an unrighteous life, if we're living an ungodly life, that if we don't follow God, His wrath could come upon us. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, now I want to look at a situation that sometimes we might read it and say, man, that wasn't that big of an issue. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, you turn there. I want to look at Uzzah. David is with Uzzah here. They are carrying the Ark of God. As they carry the Ark of God, there were certain rules that you can read about if you go back and look when the Ark was created and how they were supposed to carry it, who was and was not allowed, you know, wasn't supposed to be really be touched at all. They had special poles that were supposed to go into it and be carried by the priest. But you get here to 2 Samuel 6. Once again, this is a precious thing. This is designed by God Himself, told them exactly how they were should make it. And so as we think that, and we consider that, look and see what happens here. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, and reading in verse 6, it says, "And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by God." God's the one that struck him down. Once again, I think about that situation. That's a hard situation for me to just accept, to understand, because this is the Ark of God. And it was going to fall down, and it was going to get dirty, and it could get cracked, it could get broke. But God expected them to follow His commandments. They were carrying it wrong already, and so you can see the anger already maybe stirring up. And then He reaches out and touches it. He wasn't allowed to do that. He disobeyed God. Whether you consider it a small sin or a big sin, sin is sin, and the wrath of God came upon him. Guys, if we were to treat our faith like we did this virus, everybody is in fear and making sure they're following the rules. Look at Romans chapter 2. Go back to Romans, if you will. In Romans chapter 2, and in verse 5. Romans 2, and in verse 5. Here it says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Guys, there it is. What does it say there? It says they are stirring up for themselves the wrath of God. Treasuring up for themselves. Because of the hardness of their heart. Does that not make you think every time I hear hardened heart, my mind has to go to the Pharaoh? Because how many times it makes mention that he hardened his heart. He hardened it. Even with everything going on. You know, he saw the plagues come upon Egypt. He saw the signs as Moses approached him. He saw the blood, the water turned into blood. He saw the frogs come above. He saw the insects that came. He had the death. And yet he continued from Exodus. In Exodus chapter 5, all the way through chapter 14, all the way to leading the army into the Red Sea and being destroyed. Guys, he just hardened his heart and would not listen to God. He would not fear God. He continued to go down what he first said to Moses of, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Understand, the Lord is our creator. And he has power over everything, over all things. So we don't want to stir up the wrath of God against ourselves. I want to move to the second point. I want to move to another point of how we react with this virus, our fear and concern. Our concern is for many. Some who are more high risk and don't want to catch the virus themselves. So therefore, you might get caught up in saying, "Look, I need to stay in for myself. I need to follow these rules for myself. I wish everybody else would obey these rules so that it would help protect me." We also react for our family, right? We're reacting saying, "Look, I'm going to keep my family in. I'm going to make sure my kids stay in. I'm going to make sure that..." Why? Because we protect our family. We care for our family. We want to help our family. We are concerned for them. And then it goes to the matter, maybe we care for everybody. We want everyone to follow these rules because we don't want to see anyone getting sick. We don't want to see anyone go through the suffering. We don't want to see them have to be stuck at home for 2 straight weeks without able to do anything. They don't want to be quarantined. And so we have a concern for one another. Once again, go back to our faith now and apply that to your faith. Who do you want to see face the wrath of God? Who do you want to see go to hell? Who do you want to see continue in a path of sin that is leading them to that? And so do we treat our faith like we treat this virus? Do we treat our souls like we treat this virus? Because if we did, we'd be concerned for ourselves. We make sure and study the scriptures to make sure that we are on the right path. Because if you read Romans 2, if you're still there in Romans chapter 2, and in verse 6, right after we just read verse 5, verse 6 says, "Who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who patient continuance and doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God." So once again, we read these verses and understand you have to make your election sure. You have to make sure that you are ready and are doing good. Once again, are you protecting yourself for this virus? Are you making sure you've got soap? Are you making sure you're prepared to stay in? But do you prepare yourself to meet God? Let's go further than just yourself. Let's talk about the family. How many have chosen and told your wives, told your children, "Guys, you're not going out. You have to explain to the kids, guys, we can't go to the park. You're not going to school. Why? Why not? Why can't I go see my friends? Why can't we go play? Why can't we go have some fun? Why can't we go to the bouncing park? And we're ready to stand our ground because we want people to stay safe. We want our family to stay safe. Do we do that with their souls? Do we do that with their life? Do we lead them in the right direction? Moms and dads, do you lead your parents like you should? Do you lead your wife in the right direction? Do you lead your husband in the right direction? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, and you start there in verse 22. Ephesians 5, and reading there, and in verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." Once again, you want to go and ask yourself, am I doing my part in a relationship? The comparison of husband and wife is the church and Christ. The church listening to the Lord, obeying the Lord, following the Lord, so that they can be in heaven when the time comes. And the Lord made sure that opportunity was there. He did the most necessary thing. He went the full length and sacrificed himself so that he could have a bride that was without spot. That was the best. Because he did his part. Not just because she did her part, because he made sure that he did everything for her, that we, the church, could have his word, that we could have salvation through his blood, so that we could come to him for aid and help. Are we doing these things in our marriage? Are we looking to the word of God to see how we are to love our wives, how you should be respecting your husbands? There's so much there. You read down in chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and you talk about parents and children. Ephesians 6 and verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So here we see, here we look once again to the Word of God. Are we treating this virus like we would our souls, our family, our friends? Because if we are, then we're going to be concerned for our family. I'm going to make sure that my kids go to church. I'm going to make sure that they're studying their Bible at home. I'm going to make sure that I'm showing them the right way that they should go. I'm going to see if they have any questions that need to be answered. Do we do that? Because that's what everybody's doing to make sure that their life, their physical life here on earth, is okay right now. But do you do that for your soul? To make sure that you have life in heaven after the life here on earth? That's what we should be doing. That's how serious we should be treating this. Once again, we should be concerned for everyone. Trying to do our best to make sure that we are helping all. Because that's what we're doing by staying in. Because there's those who aren't high risk, they're low risk with this virus, right? They don't have as much to be concerned about for themselves. And yet we say, guys, please stay in. Please stay in, because what you may touch when you're at the store, what you may do, you could be carrying the virus even though you may not get sick. And you could leave that virus there, and when my grandparents or when I come by, and because I have to get out, because we have to have things from time to time, so you have the things that you have to go get at Walmart, you may end up giving me the virus, right? We should be concerned for one another. The Bible teaches the same thing. Turn to Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, turn along with me there. Luke chapter 17, I'm reading starting in verse 4. Verse 1 through 4. Luke 17, starting there in verse 1. It says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself if your brother sins against you. Rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day, return to saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. But looking at verse 2, as it brings out that if we were to cause one of these to stumble, he said it would be better off for you to simply tie something around your neck and go jump in the water, drown, hang yourself, be better off. Once again, he's not telling you to go do that. He's just telling you, if you're causing other people, especially young kids, your children, to be led astray, to follow the path of this world, to follow the path of Satan instead of the path of Christ, you're better off doing that. Because you're stirring up for yourself the wrath of God. Guys, we should be concerned for one another. We should be thinking, what I do, is it going to affect other people? Is it going to affect my brethren in Christ? Is it going to affect my neighbors? Is it going to cause temptation? Now, I understand, temptation is always going to be there. People are going to sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're not going to get that out of the world. That's why we're trying to get to heaven, so that we will be rid of these temptations, so we'll be out of the sin of this world. But we have to do our part in trying to eliminate temptation. Look with me in Romans. In Romans chapter 14, if you turn along with me there, read a couple verses from here. In Romans chapter 14, looking at verse 20. Romans 14, and in verse 20, it says, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. And so here it says, if you do anything that causes a brother to stumble. And yet, guys, I hear brethren in Christ bring out the point, well, I don't stumble with this, I don't struggle with this, and I can wear what I want to wear. I can do what I want to do. I can hang out with the crowd I want to hang out with. It's their own problem. They need to take care of it. We've already covered ourselves. We'll be judged by ourselves. Yes, absolutely. We'll be judged by our works, by what you choose to do. But understand what it's saying here also is that we have a responsibility to look out for one another. When you get caught up in saying, is this too immodest to wear? Am I going to go that extra distance to cause someone else to lust? Am I going to go out and do these certain things that are going to cause somebody to get upset and mad? And once again, we can't make everybody happy. I know that. Live as much as possible that depends on you to live peaceably with all. But guys, there's a lot that we could do to help one another. There's a lot that we could do to eliminate some temptations. There's a lot. And we need to be doing our part. We need to be asking ourselves, are we truly doing what is best for one another? Making sure that I'm going to heaven, but also doing our best to help others get to heaven also. Because if we truly concern for one another, we're going to do the best. We're going to make sure that we're not tempting any people as much as possible that we can. We need to be looking to God at all times, following the path of Christ at all times. Moving to another point about this virus that's going on. How many of you out there are searching daily to see the updates about the virus? How many wake up every morning or before you go to bed every night and throughout the day are looking to see what the CDC is saying, looking to see what our governor has said needs to be done, looking to see what the president is doing about the situation? How many are doing that? How often do you search your Bible to make sure that you are following the right path? How often do you read your Bible and pray to God to make sure that you're doing what needs to be done? In Acts chapter 17, if you turn along with me there, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, here it says, or starting verse 10, it says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Is that you? Is that what you're doing? When you hear somebody say something on Facebook about the Word of God, and when you go to services on Sunday, on Wednesday, whenever it is you're at church or with your study with somebody else, do you open up your Bible and say, "All right, let's see if the preacher was telling the truth. Let's see whether or not these things are actually in the Word of God, whether I can find what they're teaching is there." Do you? Because we should be. Again, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Read with me here in verse 10. So verse 5, there it's telling us to add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness. And then you get to verse 10. It says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Here it says, if you study and you grow and you add to your faith, then you won't stumble. But if we just stop and we don't study, we don't pray, we don't grow, as you're given the opportunity for Satan, who's out there like a roaring lion, to pounce on you, to take you, to set a snare and a trap for you to fall into. But it tells us to make sure your election is sure. Again, in 2 Timothy 2, in verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, and in verse 15. You look with me there. As it reads here and tells us to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Once again, be diligent. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Guys, we have to be walking through the word of God. How many of you are doing that right now? And then it comes to the next point of how often are you sharing this stuff? You know, once again, I can't scroll through my Facebook without seeing somebody posting something about the COVID-19. Some of it's jokes, some of it's, you know, facts, some of it's CDC, some of it's what's going on here in Kentucky, some of it, since we're close to India, everybody's posting stuff about it. How often do you share the Word of God? Do you say, friends, family, neighbors, strangers, look out for your soul. Look at where the world is heading. Or do we just ignore that part? And then it comes down to the colors following the rules. The rules that the CDC sets, the rules that the governor sets, the rule that the president sets. You know, how are we pushing people to make sure they're following these rules? And the question is do we do that with our faith, with the Word of God, with our religion? Because that's what we're told to do. We're told to be follow the Word of God, to do these commands. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 25. It says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Who will be blessed in what he does? One who is a doer of the work. One who hears the word of God and obeys it. One who hears that we're to be hospitable and we invite people in. We go and visit others. One who hears that you should go to church on Sunday, that you should be taking the Lord's Supper, that you should be giving so that we can help one another. And you do that. Doers of the work is those who are going to be blessed. John 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Everybody's ready to raise their hand and say, I love Christ. I want to go to heaven. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we need to open up our Bibles and search the scriptures and see what his commands are. See, it is what we should be doing. Making sure that we're following the path. Make sure we're leading our family in the right path. Help our neighbors to get there also. Do everything we can to follow the Lord. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Again, he who does the will of my Father. Just as it's, you know, some would say that if you say, well, I'm concerned for everybody with this virus going on, but then you see that they're the ones that are out there just, you know, doing everything else, not following the rules, what good does that do? Whereas when it comes to the Word of God, it's the same question. I love Christ. I love God. I'm thankful for what He's done for us. Thankful for my life. I want to go to heaven. But then you don't follow His rules. You don't obey the commands that He set for you. Guys, then you're going to miss out. It's not enough to just say, Lord, Lord, I love you. I'm thankful. You have to do. You have to obey. And I ask you, where would we be if we treated our faith like this? Where would this world be if everyone followed God like they did this virus or this nation? Where would your community, this town, the town that you live in, where would you guys be if we were to treat our faith like we did this virus? I mean, everything's shut down, guys. Everybody's staying home. Everybody's washing their hands. I hope so, anyways. Where would your congregation be? Where would the West Side Church of Christ be? Where would we be? Where would you be individually? Where would your family be if we treated our faith and the Word of God like you did this virus? Look, the lesson is yours. I'm thankful that you guys have tuned in. I hope that you opened up your Bibles and follow along. Of course, we'll share this video so you can go back. I'll try to maybe even post the notes in case you want to see the scriptures that I had used. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation, though. If you're listening to this, and you know what you need to do, you've heard the Word of God, you've studied it yourself, you've confirmed the truth, you understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you believe that. Make your life right with God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be baptized into Christ, putting on Christ, washing away your sins. Come up a child of God. And if we can help you with that, you just let us know. You give me a phone call. You leave us a message here. You get a hold of one of the members of this congregation. And we'll make sure that we aid you in any way that we can in obeying the gospel and making sure that your life is ready to meet God. I hope that you have a good rest of the day. Plan on having another lesson around 5 o'clock tonight or when we usually have our evening worship. Have a good day. Thank you.